And welcome to the Ted Brower Show with Austin Brower, my co-host. Having a great time today. Got a lot of news stories. Some of them are kind of interesting, so I got to be kind of careful with what I say today. Let me just kind of just preface what I'm going to say in a few minutes. Some of this stuff is kind of touchy, so I may not cover it all in detail and do some more research on it. Okay, our verse today is this. Luke chapter 24, verse 46. This is Jesus speaking. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and die from and rise from the dead." I'm going to start this over. "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with the power from on high." I love that verse. So that's my verse of the day. My good news verse is that you will be clothed with the power from on high when you are connected by blood covenant through Christ Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, into God's dimension, and he shares with you his omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence, and he gives you authority. He gives you authority over the lower dimensions, and Lucifer is under your feet. You have nothing to fear. You only have praise to give to God. So that's the Bible verse of the day. Austin, what's your first story?
Well, it's interesting now. We talked about the HPV vaccine in detail, and now it looks like the pediatricians across the country are now begin pushing a new super HPV vaccine that they haven't even fully tested yet. Again, it's 9V HPV vaccine is what they're calling it, and now it's showing on here that basically this vaccine has an alarmingly high levels of aluminum in it. Some of the ones they've tested already more than twice the amount of aluminum as the current one already. Now, I don't know if anybody has it figured out yet. This is an incredibly toxic vaccine. We've already seen that more and more parents, they're getting informed about this. This is one of the most unscientific vaccines in the history of vaccination as far as how it's been tested. There's a research article I was reading today saying that the vaccine, HPV vaccine uptake, is now dropping more than 50% since its introduction in 2006. The number of children in private health plans getting vaccinated for HPV is declining by staggering numbers, citing low demand and high cost and questioning the benefits. Even Utah's public Department of Health has now banned the vaccine. They stated the backlash and sentiment against it was so strong enough that there's no reason to have it here. Physician David Bloggett explained, "No one wants it, and it's too expensive when you're not funded to provide it." And now, right now, it's showing that they're even over 50%, as I said before, now have declined since 2006. So I guess they're trying to rebrand it as a better formula now with the new HPV vaccine. But I can't imagine they're going to be able to get away with this anymore.
Well, it causes infertility, and there's so many women now who had these shots when they were in their teenage years that are in their early 20s, mid-20s, who can't have children. You know, it's thimerosal all over again. I mean, it's just, you know, it's the thiolamide all over again. I mean, it's just this, it's another poison that we're putting into pregnant women or young girls, and it's just massively affecting fertility rates. So, no, I don't suggest that anybody, absolutely anybody, ever gets that vaccine, period. I think it's dangerous, and its own manufacturers have said, and the own researchers who did the research on it, I read the story to you last week, she came clean to cleanse her conscience and said it doesn't work, and it has all of these horrible side effects, including death, and she doesn't recommend that anybody uses it. This is the lady who developed it. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, so they're all doing damage control right now, Austin, but I think people have begun to realize that the globalists on a full-blown assault on the immune system and on the reproductive systems of the people in the United States trying to reduce the population of the planet. Now, I've got a story I've got to talk about. This is kind of, I'm not going to talk about it much today. It came across my desk a couple of weeks ago right after the death of Scalia, and Alex was talking about it a little bit today, but I got to do some more research on it before I start going into a full-blown investigation on this because it's pretty awful. And the problem is so dirty that I can't sleep with it very much. But an interesting article in Veterans Today by Gordon Duff says that Scalia sleeps with the fishes. And apparently this place in Texas where Scalia was found dead was, according to multiple sources I have now, they kind of indulge the fantasies of some men with young boys. So they're saying it was like a pedophile ranch. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, and I've got it from multiple sources now, and I'm certainly not saying that Justice Scalia was a pedophile. I'm not saying any of that because I believe that has to be vetted. I believe there's something going else on here, but I am wondering, you know, why he said, when he asked, why pedophiles weren't given protection under the law. And I also kind of wonder why, you know, this is a very difficult topic for me to talk about, guys, because I don't like talking about some of this because, you know, he's gone now, he's dead. And so let me just read you what Gus Duff said instead of trying to, you take what you want to take with this. He said that, let me go back to this thing. Hang on, just, gosh, this is just awful. He goes, it says, okay, we've got my iPad's jumping around because I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing, forgive me. He says, the worst person in the world is found dead in Texas in a rent boy ranch, which is a playground for Mick Jagger and for Charlie Sheen. Justice Scalia was found dead at a ranch in Texas where he was a guest. When the Washington Post asked the host, John Poindexter, about Scalia's free ride, Poindexter pointed out that nobody pays at this ranch and they were all free guests. What Poindexter is evasive about is what goes on there, what services are also given, and who is invited. An examination of Scalia's history as a continual free guest is telling. This man who never picked up a bill, and with his hunting trip with Dick Cheney during a lawsuit against Cheney and his energy task force, Scalia didn't care if his fellow guests had cases before the court. Let's look at this man, who I see as a strong contender for the worst person that ever lived. This is according to Gordon Duff. And so you guys can read this article on your own. I'm not making any claims against this guy. May he rest in peace. I mean, he's dead. But, you know, something happened out there. There's a reason there wasn't an autopsy. There's a reason that he did not have his security detail with him. There's a reason for this cover-up. This is a giant whitewash, and now we're finding out that this is a playground for Mick Jagger and Charlie Sheen, and it's a Texas rent-a-boy ranch. So, gosh, guys, this is pretty awful, and I don't know if any of this is true, and I really hesitate to bring it up. I've got a lot more detail on it right now, but I'm not going to talk about it until I vet it a little bit further. But this is one of the big problems that we have in the New World Order. It's this Satanism that was so promoted through Aleister Crowley, having these pedophile relations with these young boys. And Aleister Crowley, who was involved with this, was also a Luciferian. He goes into detail on how this is done. And we know that we have these giant pedophile rings in Washington, D.C. We know that the U.N. brings these children in to be brought to these pedophile parties. I mean, it's all been released now, all this information. And it's a huge mess. And so the perversion that we have in Washington, D.C. into the higher levels of the government are so bad. I mean, so many people think that Barack Obama's gay. Joan Rivers called him out as being gay. She called his wife out as being a transvestite. She was dead like within 30 days after she did that. Multiple people have said that Obama was gay, including the victims who died who were his gay lovers in Chicago who died before he went into office. Their moms and their parents have all called these people out, who they were and who they associated with Obama. So I don't want to believe this. This is just one of those things that's kind of nasty. You feel like you got to take a shower. Let me do some more research on it. But we have a man who said that he actually wrote a book on this, and he's pretty credible. I've listened to him now. Whether he is completely insane or whatever, I don't know. But he has pointed this out, and he has actually listed him, you know, as far as someone who basically abused him. And if you watch the documentary, Conspiracy of Silence, it gives an overview of the issue. And like other victims such as Kathy O'Brien, the man named Schroeder, who names former NSA chief colonel and open Satanist Michael Aquino as one of his abusers, Schroeder not only claims that Scalia was a pedophile, but Scalia was the head of the cult of a satanic pedophile ring, and that he abused and perpetrated was just as bad as Aquino's was. Now, I don't know if Schroeder's credible, but now I've gotten this from like four or five different sources. I wasn't going to touch this. I don't know if it's true, but you guys need to do some research on it for me. Find out what you think. Send me the links. And again, I make no claims at all with any of this, but since Alex was talking about it today, I needed to discuss it. And since I don't know if the man was innocent or guilty, I have absolutely no idea. All I know is that the situation around his death was so strange that it leads to all this crazy speculation. But again, I'm not making any claims whatsoever as far as his sexual preferences or anything he was involved in. Austin, what's your next story?
Well, going back to the Obamacare again, this is interesting. Now we find not only is it incredibly inefficient, it's incredibly bad as far as raising the prices for most individuals. Now we're starting to see that the government has failed to properly monitor enrollee eligibility for Obamacare, according to a report by the Government Accountability Office. As a result, the government has made billions of dollars in Obamacare subsidy payments that individuals that are committing fraud. This is interesting now. When the government wastes money, it's wasting our money. It's cutting our pay. It's damaging our lives, says Grover Norquist, who's the president of Americans for Tax Reform. And the Obama administration is treating us with contempt. And they list all these different things now that basically they're not vetting people properly. They're not even getting proper Social Security numbers. They're paying out all kinds of insurance premium bills that aren't even going to where they're supposed to go. They said an auditor's report examining just Minnesota's Obamacare exchange found that the exchange enrolled more than 100,000 individuals who were ineligible for the program. In all, the audit estimated an error rate of close to 50%. The state paid over $271 million over a five-year period that was analyzed by the auditors. And it just goes on and on. June 16th last year, report released by HSOIG found that $2.8 billion worth of Obamacare subsidies and payments had been made in 2014 without any verifications at all. So as we knew before, I mean, this was never designed to be cheap health care for anybody. It's a giant Ponzi scheme, and it's a giant scam to try and extract more money from individuals, hardworking Americans that are trying to, you know, make ends meet, and that's what it's doing now. They're giving money to people that don't even work for it, don't even need it, aren't even eligible for it, and in turn, it's raising everybody's health care premiums every year.
Well, like I told you, I have a good friend of mine here in Winter Haven, and his health care, he only makes like $35,000 a year, and he's got four kids, and his health care premium started off at $50 a month, which he said was just incredible. And this year they raised it to $350 with no notice. He had a 700% increase in his health care premiums. And now he's opting pretty much to get out of the whole system again, because now he's paying $4,000 or $5,000 a year. And he said it's probably going to go up again. And so now it becomes a big percentage of his entire income, because now it's over 10% of what he earns already. And so it just gets really, really expensive. This is why he didn't have health insurance to start with. Here's another article. Muslims, this is by Pamela Geller. Muslims, and this is from the Sons of Liberty Media with Bradley Dean. I interviewed Bradley. I've got to get him on the show. A good interview on the Power Hour last year with Bradley. This is on the Sons of Media, Liberty Media. Muslims masquerading as teenagers. This is the article. Muslims masquerading as teenagers in Swedish asylum center repeatedly rape a 12-year-old boy, and they film the entire assault for their pleasure. The case is being treated as serious by the prosecutor, as not only did the rapists film themselves attacking the boy, but they exhibited particularly ruthlessness and harshness. This is the savagery that Sweden and all of Europe has brought upon itself, and it's only just the beginning. I mean, you know, we talked about this yesterday, Sweden's about ready to leave, you know, NATO, because they don't want any more refugees because of what's happening. Austin, what do you think? I mean, we talked about this yesterday. I mean, I don't know what to say about this.
Well, yeah, I mean, it went into detail, too, as far as Norway now, and it's basically saying that they don't want to have anything to do with this open border policy anymore. They're about to step out and lock down their entire country, you know, just lock everything down in Norway. We've seen it. We've talked about it for months now in Sweden, and it's getting worse and worse, and the problem is the mainstream media is refusing to cover it. They will not talk about it. They won't talk about what's going on in Germany. They won't talk about what's going on in Greece. They won't talk about what's going on in Sweden. And this is just, it's just sick. I mean, especially this. I mean, you hear about them raping all these people all the time. And I mean, what in your right mind makes you think that's acceptable behavior? Like we discussed before, they're going into the public bathrooms and the public pools and defecating in the pools. I don't know why this group of individuals that come here and get free food, free housing, free cigarettes, free everything, think that this is the acceptable way to act in modernized society. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, I don't know Sweden's policy on all this, but I mean, this would be obviously essentially a death penalty. If they started doing this in Sweden and they started saying, hey, if you act like this, if you want to go rape people, then you're just going to get the death penalty in this country. especially if you're not even a documented citizen here, then this is just how we're going to treat you. And quite frankly, I know that sounds harsh, and a lot of people will probably get mad at me for saying that, but I guarantee you it would stop a lot of this complete and total shenanigans that these individuals are exhibiting with this egregious behavior over there.
You know, Austin, the problem is they don't even have a death penalty in Sweden. Most of these very progressive societies like Norway and Sweden, they don't have death penalties anymore. I don't think Germany does either. And so they can pretty much do whatever they want to do and not have the death penalty. In fact, most of the prosecutors, because of these illegal immigrants, because of political correctness, look the other way. I don't know what to say about what's happening. All I know is when we were there back in January, or back in December, reporting on all of this stuff, I was actually concerned about Sharon, my wife, and my daughter, Savannah, being out after dark, you know, going to the Christmas markets. And I told them, I said, I don't want you walking around anywhere, which is really safe in Germany. It used to be. You guys have to take taxis everywhere, and you have to make sure you're always staying with the group. But that didn't even bother them in Cologne. They had 1,000 of them openly and publicly rape women in the street. They would circle around the women so people couldn't see what they were doing. They would strip their clothes off and gang rape them right on the concrete. And basically, then when they were done with them, when they were just a mess laying on the concrete, they would just walk away like nothing happened. And it happened all over Cologne, Germany. And it's a game they play. And I don't even know what to say with this level of barbarism, this level of sadism, this level of debauchery, this level of anything. But remember, guys, and I've talked about this so many times, we were raised in a Christian country. All of us are who have been raised correctly. And if that offends you, don't listen to the show. Just don't listen to the show. Because I'm never going to apologize for being a Christian. I'm not going to do that. And we were raised in a Christian country founded by Christians with Christian morals and values. That's how our whole Constitution and Declaration of Independence was put together. You know, in God we trust. And the Christians and the Puritans and the Pilgrims came over in this country to escape the religious persecution of England from the Church of England. And they came to this country in the 1500s. And what people need to understand is that, you know, this whole thing has gotten completely and totally out of control with political correctness. And no one can say the truth anymore. You can't say a person's a Christian or you're anti-Christian. You can't say they're Jewish, you're anti-Semite. You can't say they're a Muslim or you're a bigot or a racist. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, we've got to call what we see and we've got to talk about it and we have to have the dialogue as adults, because if we don't do this, what's going to happen is we're going to be in a situation where we continually are in a position where we're having to compromise and just accept this type of behavior. George Soros, through the Rothschild banking cartels, where he got his money from, has basically been funding all of this massive migration into Europe. And, you know, and the owner of Fox News, Murdoch, he's another one who wants to get rid of all the borders with South and Central America. And see, they don't see you as a human being. You've got to understand this. Please understand this. They see you as an animal. They see you as a goyim. That's what they call you. They call you goyim, an animal, a cow, of calf, a sheep, to be led to the slaughter. I remember years ago, we had a church in Lakeland. It was phenomenal. And Pastor Larry Anderson was the preacher there. Unbelievably good man of God. Good man of God. I love the guy. Consider him to be a good, good friend. And he left because he wanted to be back with his family up in Michigan. And they brought another preacher back into the area to take over the church. And I'm not going to name the church, and I'm not going to name the person. I'm not going to do any of that. And I remember they brought a scoundrel in as a police, they brought a scoundrel in as a preacher. And I called up the new pastor and I said, you can't have this guy preach. I said, this guy's really, 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 really bad news. In fact, Trey Smith wrote a book about this, not about this particular incident in Lakeland, but about this preacher in general called Thieves, T-H-I-E-V-E-S. And I said, you don't want this guy in the pulpit. You don't want him there. This guy's really, really bad news. And his response to me, well, you know, Ted, the sheep have to be sheared every so often. We have to just take their money. And I immediately left the church, and I never went there again. See, this is the level to which we fall into this country, where people who are even in the pulpit can do things, and we just accept it, and we don't say anything about it. We can't allow ourselves to be like that. When we see wrong being done, we got to call it out, Austin. You see somebody getting assaulted, as much as you don't want to do it, you got to do something, man. Unless there's a whole gang of people, you better have a gun. But you got to realize, guys, you know, you got to be armed. I mean, we just went to a restaurant just a few minutes ago for lunch, and it's cool here today. It's in the 50s, but it's not cold, but I had a jacket on because the pants that I'm wearing are like gym pants, and they're not really, they have no pockets. And so I wore my jacket in so I could carry my gun into the restaurant, and the owner of the restaurant's a good friend of ours. They come over and they go, "Hey, why are you wearing that heavy jacket?" I'm like, "Well, if you come over here, I'll tell you." So I told them, I said, "I don't go anywhere without having a gun with me." See, that's the thing with guns. They always give you that little bit of an edge. In fact, they give you a really big edge, to be honest with you, because it allows you to go anywhere you want to go and not be concerned if some nutbag walks in with a gun and starts shooting people. You say, "Well, are you really paranoid?" I said, "No, I'm just prepared." I remember years ago, in fact, it was last year, I got stopped by a really nice police officer up north of Groveland, and we were talking to him. He let me go, just gave me a warning. And I gave him my concealed weapons permit, told him what I was carrying. And he said to me, he goes, "Well, you know what they call somebody who doesn't have a gun?" And I said, "A victim." He goes, "No." He says, "You call them unprepared." I'm like, "Yeah, you're right." And he goes, "You know, thank you so much for carrying. We appreciate you." Really good police officer. So, Austin, we've got to stand up for what's right. No matter what it does or how much it costs us to do it, we've got to do what's right. Do you agree?
Yes. I mean, we definitely have to do that. And especially, I mean, in the United States, we have to prevent our way of going the way of what we're seeing now in Sweden. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of people may get mad about my preference on that, but you're right. The issue that a lot of this going on over there is these individuals that are migrating to these countries, they've been under a very, very harsh rule of law their entire lives. And for some reason, that's the only way they understand justice. That's the only way they understand control. A lot of people always talk bad about Hussein and Gaddafi and all these guys, and don't get me wrong, I'm not supporting them. I'm not saying these guys were great individuals. They were ruthless, and they did a lot of stuff that was probably frowned upon. But there's a reason why they had to handle their citizens and their civilians that way. It's because they act like this on a regular basis. You see how they act now when they go to Sweden, and there is no hard rule of law that they're used to. They literally do this. They run around in roving gangs and rape people. We have to prevent this from happening in the United States. If you see something like this happen, get involved. Even if there's four or five people, I don't care. Most of my magazines carry upwards of 10 to 15 rounds. If somebody starts running around and acting crazy and pulls out a knife, they're getting shot immediately on site. I'm not saying anything to them. That's how it happens down here. We don't play that game with anybody. If they want to go and act like animals and engage in this savage behavior, just savage, it's just animalistic behavior, when you see it happen, engage them. If they do not stop immediately, if they approach you, if they do something and you feel that your life is in danger or another individual's life in danger, you have the right to defend yourself. And people have to start understanding that, especially down here in Florida. Now, other states, again, I don't know all your laws, so check with your local laws, but we have to start standing up and not being so scared about political correctness that we're afraid to do anything, we're afraid to offend anybody, we're afraid to defend anybody, and we're not willing to do what we need to do as Americans to protect our family and our country and our home.
No, you're right. I mean, I remember Saddam Hussein, but let me go back to the Christian thing. Because we were raised as Christians, we have a behavioral bias. We don't believe that people do stuff like this. We don't believe that they're capable of doing stuff like this because we wouldn't do something like this. It's like a person who tells the truth, who's law-abiding. Most of the time, it's very easy to manipulate or to lie to them or to defraud them because they don't believe that there are people that are out there like that that do those things. And there are people that prey on people that are innocent. And it's just what people do. But Saddam Hussein actually went out, and if the people did crazy stuff in his country, he would go and he had rape gangs go around. This is horrible. This is what he did. And he would have their whole families raped. And then he would have the fathers hung. So they would hang them and then they would make sure they raped all the family and then they would hang the fathers. And so he was just the meanest, well, use a common vernacular, he was the meanest SOB around. And so that's what he was. And so that was the only way he could control this animalistic environment of these Muslims that are raised like this, that have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain, and they're raised in these third world countries. Now, a lot of the Saudis, you know, aren't raised like that, and there's some pretty decent people in some of those countries that are more refined with nice cities, etc. But when you start getting these people out of the Horn of Africa and out of Northern Africa and out of Egypt, and these people that have never even seen toilets, are you kidding me? And you bring them into your country and your women are just open game for them. There's a real problem with that, Austin. So, you know, we just need to stop them from coming in. And that's what I don't understand with Sweden. I don't understand with Norway, unless they're shuttling them by plane. These boats are coming in. There's these transport boats that go to them. I don't know why the government isn't stopping the boats and turning them around, saying you're not going to bring these people to our shore, or we're not going to let you land that aircraft here. The answer is no, you can't land. So I don't know if they're being forced to by NATO. I don't know if it's just because of political correctness. But I tell you what, they're about to lose their country, son. What's your next story?
Yes, they are. And I mentioned it yesterday, and a lot of it has to do with the Geneva Convention and NATO, as you were saying, because the funding. They own these countries now with the EU and NATO and all that for the subsidies and the money they give them. So what they're doing is now they're threatening them if they don't take in this many refugees, if they basically aren't good little slave countries and take in all these migrants, then they start cutting off their funding. That's why Norway said yesterday, or on Tuesday, excuse me, they basically don't care. If it gets any worse in Sweden, they're cutting off all their borders, they're locking the country down, and they're going to be their own little country, and everybody else can pound salt. They don't care what the Geneva Convention says or what their funding says. They're doing it on their own. This is a different story now. This is over here in Virginia. A prominent civil rights organization now is massively protesting a Virginia state bill that would create essentially a secret police force, allowing officers to be effectively immunized from wrongdoing and able to act with impunity. This is crazy now. This bill that's being proposed in Virginia, apparently it's got a lot of positive support, but a lot of people are starting to protest it now. It's Senate Bill 552. If you live in Virginia, you need to look this up. What it does is it completely classifies the names of all police officers as personal records, making them exempt from disclosure. By ensuring that the identities of the police officers would be kept completely secret, SB 552 would result in the creation of a secret police force throughout the Commonwealth. If police are allowed to operate anonymously without moderating influence that comes from public oversight of their activities, officers would be effectively immunized from all wrongdoing and be able to act with impunity and in disregard of the civil rights of citizens. Lawsuits over violations would be next to impossible because there would be no defendant that could be named. Everything would come in as redacted or classified when it goes to court. Nothing could go anywhere. And that's basically scheduled to be for a hearing on a subcommittee in the State House, I think, next week. So if you guys live in Virginia, I would definitely look into this, Senate Bill 552, because this is not something you want going on. I promise you, this is just going to grow into an ever worse police state than we already have. When you can take it now and police officers can literally do what they want, and then when something happens, they won't even release the name of them. They won't even give you the name to file a lawsuit. They won't even give you anything because they're going to say it's classified information. You can forget about any type of justice with non-law-abiding police officers. And we talked about this in detail. There's a large population of the police force that I know a lot of them. I worked out with one the other day at the gym. I have a real good friend that I go riding with all the time. He's a sheriff here. They're great guys. They're really nice. Most of them are. But you're going to have this subsection of that group that is not really nice, and they act like they should not be acting. And if they find out that they basically can act with full impunity and they can't be sued, they can't be dragged into lawsuits, because every time something comes up, it shows as security, you know, clearance or classified or it's redacted, boy, you're going to open up a whole can of worms with those group of individuals. This is not something you guys want in Virginia.
No, I agree. Totally agree. New story. China warns, listen to this, China warns the United States after Trump wins the Nevada caucus. Trump has promised to punish the Chinese currency manipulation. China warned the United States on Wednesday not to adopt punitive currency policies that could disrupt the U.S.-China relations after Donald Trump's win in Nevada caucus. I mean, can you believe this? China is warning us on what we can and can't do with our own country right now. I mean, I realize they own a lot of the infrastructure, and I realize that we have trillions of dollars in debt to these guys. I got that, okay? I got all that. And I realize that they've taken away our manufacturing sectors and they're building their junk in China and bringing it over here. I got that. The problem is they have absolutely no right to tell the United States and to warn us if we adopt measures to protect the stuff that's coming in here from China. I know if I sell a used car in China, you have a huge import tariff when that car goes in. I have a friend of mine who exports Mercedes, matter of fact, into China and all over the world. He says that when you take like a GL 350, a diesel SUV, a 7-passenger, which is a good car, and you sell it to China used, you bring it in, there's like a $100,000 tariff on that car when it comes in, imposed by the Chinese government. I mean, so they have all of these tariffs. It's almost impossible to bring things into China, but yet they want to bring all of their junk, ship it to us, fund all of the mess. Again, it's because they own the debt. They bought so many of our treasury bonds and bills and all this other stuff that we have that it allows them the impunity to say things like this. If the Fed didn't sell the debt, if the Treasury didn't sell the debt, and by the way, the Fed and the Treasury are intermingled now, synonymous since the Exchange Stabilization Act, of 1934. Basically, the Federal Reserve Bank controls the Treasury, period. That's why this hanky-panky goes on like this all the time. And what people need to realize is this. If we got rid of that stupid Federal Reserve nonsense and we stopped selling these government bonds to foreign entities, they would have no control or authority over us. But the Fed didn't want to hold its own paper because the United States could default on it. Let me explain that. If the Federal Reserve printed the notes and sold them to the Treasury for X amount of dollars, and basically all of the United States currency that they sold to us at interest, which they're not supposed to be able to do, was being held by the United States government or the people of the United States, we at any point in time could say, we don't like you anymore, Fed. We're going to default on this. We're going to render all of this illegal because you should have never been able to do this to start with because the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 was never properly, ratified. And if they did that, they could just get rid of all the debt. So rather than taking the chance of doing that, they sold all of this debt in these treasury auctions to all of these countries and all of these investors all over the world. And what it did, it diversified the debt load. So if the United States defaults now on all of this debt, it not only defaults on the Federal Reserve debt, it defaults on the Chinese debt, it defaults on the British debt. All the global countries that have invested in these treasury bonds from the United States or these instruments would all be defaulted on. And so they did it on purpose because they knew that once we figured out what they had done and we had the ability to say, pound salt, dude, we're not paying this, you guys cheated us, that what would happen is they would be in trouble. But they didn't do it that way. They sold the debt to all these other countries. Austin, talk about that for a second because I know you understand it. You wrote a whole paper on it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, the thing that's interesting is that, I mean, from the actual on-book balance sheets that they're telling us, China holds upwards of almost $2 trillion of U.S. government securities, and 34% of our debt now is owned by foreign governments, which is right around $6 trillion. Now, again, this is the numbers I'm telling you that have been published that are actually on the books. Again, when you start hearing stuff like Bernanke and they try to audit and they find that there's, $18, $19 trillion on off-books balance sheets that nobody can account for, you really kind of wonder how much debt other countries really are holding. But, yeah, on paper, what they actually are showing, almost 40% of our debt is held by foreign countries. That is one of the only reasons why the United States dollar is still being able to hold its own in the entire world currency, is because all these other countries know if they decide, hey, we're going to try and come out with a single currency that's going to be backed by gold and all the countries are going to go with it, regardless of what happens, they're still going to have to give up all that debt. So if China decides they want to do that and come out with a gold-backed yen or gold-backed yuan, whatever they use over there, they're basically going to lose close to $2 trillion that they've purchased from the Federal Reserve now, which that's a substantial amount of money to take a loss on. So what they've started doing is the Chinese are smart. They've started buying up all these different companies, properties, buildings, infrastructure, you name it, the Chinese are owning over here. It's been on the news just a little bit lately. You've been hearing more and more. I think the Chicago Stock Exchange, they bought that. Now they bought another company over in Europe that's basically right beside the amount of right by Monsanto as far as the amount of volume they do with pesticides and herbicides. They're doing that all over the world now because they know the U.S. dollar is short. It's coming short. And when it defaults, that close to $2 trillion they're holding is going to disappear. So they might as well start diversifying their assets and start owning part of America anyways. So when we default on all that, it doesn't matter. They're not going to lose much of anything. They're just going to take delivery of all the properties, companies, buildings, infrastructure, and quite frankly, it's based on a conspiracy theory, but the next one's going to be people. There's a certain amount of debt that every single person in the United States has accrued from the Federal Reserve, And the Chinese like slave labor. There's no question about that. So if you want to see how weird it's going to get in the future, if China wants to start operating in this country, you'll see it real fast, because they're going to try and take over everything. It's not speculation. I'm guaranteeing it. At a certain point in time, China's going to try and collect on everything in the United States. And it's a very, very large portion, much more than anybody even realizes.
And the only thing that's stopping them is the Second Amendment, period. That's it.
Absolutely. That is 100%. Because the thing is, and that's one of the reasons, if you remember, after 2012 with the Sandy Hook shooting, it was complete and totally bogus now. We found out the whole thing was made up. The Chinese were said multiple times that the United States government needed to disarm Americans. There's no reason for us to have AR-15s. There's no reason for us to have arms like this, even though the initial report stated that only handguns were used in there, and they found no AR-15. It was found in the trunk of his car, but then they said all of a sudden it was AR-15 that killed everybody. Completely contradicted story. But yes, the Chinese want America disarmed, because they would have, even with their large army they have, they'd have a very difficult time invading this country with any type of success without having massive casualty rate on their end, and not to mention they would pretty much completely obliterate most of our infrastructure here if we went to a hot war with China. So that's not something I don't think anybody wants. They're trying to take it slowly and smoothly before the dollar collapses, but that's just my opinion.
I don't think we're going to have a global nuclear war. I don't think that they want the devastation to the infrastructure. I think they've seen how unbelievably expensive it is to try to repair Iraq and Syria and Damascus and all the different places they're bombing into oblivion over there. I think they know that when they start bombing water treatment centers and electrical power plants and all that, it takes too much money to put it back together again. I think what they want to do is have a massive population decrease in a one-world government, which they can bring in huge slave labor camps and bring in Agenda 21, move us all out of rural areas and put us into huge sky-rise buildings with 400 square feet for a family. That's what they want. And that way they can have their massive slave labor facilities. Russia's not going to allow that to happen in their country. And, you know, this is awful, but I mean, I can't even believe this, but we've allowed our leaders to do this to us. But God, how wonderful it is that Vladimir Putin is standing up against these guys, because he's really the only person that's calling it out the way it is. Here's another story. 50% of our banks have now disappeared. You can thank Bill Clinton. It's from Pam Martins. You know, thanks to the presidential debates, most Americans have heard of the Glass-Steagall Act, which kept the country banking system safe for 66 years until it was repealed by President Clinton in 1999, which allowed the housing crisis to occur, allowing the risky activities of Wall Street trading firms to merge with insured deposit banks, setting the stage for the Wall Street collapse of 2008. A few Americans ever realized or heard of the Regal Neal Interstate Banking and Branching Efficiency Act of 1994, which Bill Clinton signed into law less than 2 years after taking office. This act allowed bank holding companies to acquire banks anywhere in the nation and invalidated the laws of 36 states, which had allowed interstate banking only on a reciprocal or regional basis. In other words, he let the Rothschilds take over. That's what this means. He let the international Rothschild banking cartel buy up all the subsidiary banks. This is exactly what he did also in the radio industry, in which he allowed Clear Channel and a lot of the big radio conglomerates to come up and buy every single station in the market. Used to be that one corporation could only own one station in one given market, period. It was law by the FCC. Clinton changed all of that in the early 90s and allowed these giant conglomerates, all completely controlled and financed through the banking cartels, to come in and buy the news. That's what they did. They bought the news. They wanted to control the news. So they bought all the radio. And then it allowed them to say who and what could be on the shows. I remember, Austin, back in the 25 years ago before this happened, I sometimes would do 40 radio talk shows a week on different networks, different stations, different channels, big shows, huge shows like KDKA out of Pittsburgh, KISS FM out of California. Huge, huge shows. Got a huge response, sold a lot of books, helped a lot of people. It was amazing what we were able to do. And all of a sudden, as all these stations started getting bought up, they started bringing these DJs in who do these simulcasts to 100 stations or 200 stations at a time. You get these huge names in there, like Howard Stern's, who would be putting on all these different stations and all these other broadcasts. And then they would start saying, you can't bring alternative health people in. You can't bring these types of people in. You can't bring these types of people in. And little by little, I watched that entire market erode until finally it's controlled now by the big petrochemical industries, the banks, and also the pharmaceutical corporations, which are all owned through interlocking corporate directorships by the Rothschild banking cartel and its subsidiary companies. That's what's happened. So we've lost the ability to get the actual news out. And until we have the internet come to be in the United States and globally, we could not even get this type of information out that I'm telling you about right now. But the globalists have been using the internet to enslave us because they want to tie us together into a smart grid, but they had no idea how much information was going to be put out because they had no idea how much kick we had left in us and how the fluoride hadn't killed or disabled or maimed or retarded all of us because we decided not to drink the fluoride, not to drink the Kool-Aid. So guys, thank God Almighty that we've got the internet and we can do this show right now. We still have our First Amendment and our Second Amendment right. What's your next story, Oz?
Amen. Yeah, we talked about acetaminophen, which is the main active ingredient in Tylenol. We brought that up before. The stuff is super liver toxic, as you, most of you already know now. I never recommend using it at all, period. There's too many other natural things we have on the market. We have like the Siloxin, which is natural herbal supplement. We also have the proprietary joint relief formula, which is another good supplement to help out with joint aches, and also the magnesium topical sports oil, which is an incredibly good product too. I always put it on my knees when we're doing squats and doing heavy legs. Really seems to help out as far as with joint functioning and lubrication. We use that a lot, and you can get it at healthmasters.com. But a new research study has just come out now that indicates children of mothers who take Tylenol during pregnancy have a much greater chance of developing asthma. This is interesting. Published in February 9th in the International Journal, it suggests that increasing risk of asthma in children is associated with the prenatal use of acetaminophen, the main ingredient in the over-the-counter painkiller. In the study, Norwegian researchers tracked data from a large database, the Norwegian Mother and Child Cohort Study, and checked rates among 114,500 children as they reached the ages of 3 and 7. Her group found a consistent link between asthma among the 3-year-olds and exposure to acetaminophen before they were born. The link was the strongest among children whose mother used the drug for more than one health complaint, the authors also said. The results strongly indicated a link between asthma and the use of the drug itself rather than any conditions that it was used to treat. Now, let me tell you something, guys. There's a really good product we carry called the Corticare B5, B6, and also the Turmeric. Both of those help out extremely good with overall lung health and breathing capabilities. If you have something like that and you're having an issue with breathing, those are the supplements to take. And my goodness, if you're pregnant, do not take Tylenol. You already know it's liver toxic. No reason to increase more asthmatic conditions in your unborn child.
You know, Austin, there's a term that's highly, highly controversial, at least was back in the 60s and the 70s, and this theory has been brought about and promulgated for generations of time through science, and it's called biological transmutation, and the liver is directly involved in this. And this is when you take a child, this is interesting, now follow me for this for a second. If a woman's pregnant and she takes all of the food she eats and all of the water she eats and drinks, and then she has all of the feces weighed and all of the urine she puts out weighed, and she has this done for the entire pregnancy, the child weighs more than the total cumulative total of the entire amount of food that she ate, less the excrement. Now, what's interesting about that, science has long been puzzled by this because they don't understand how this happens. So science has postulated, and a lot of this is very controversial again, I'm not saying that I understand it all because I don't. But there's an interdimensional component of all of this that's being done through the liver, in which the liver actually takes certain types of things like oxygen and nitrogen, etc., and it's able to transmute them into biological equivalents. This is what was called biological transmutation. And it's becoming more and more talked about now because now we understand scalar physics and we're also starting to understand quantum mechanics. And so they're starting to figure out how some of these things work and how some of these elements are actually changed into different nutrients and how it creates a child. Now, if you think about it like that, and you take a child whose mother's been on Tylenol, which damages the liver, it's going to affect this quote-unquote biological transmutation and proper nutrient and cell development, which could lead to that child having much higher incidence of all types of diseases, including asthma, which is primarily an omega-3 fat deficiency and a B6 deficiency. If a mother who is breastfeeding a child, and I've seen this many, many times, will start taking B6, B12, make sure they're all methylated with B-complex, along with flaxseed oil and cod liver oil, and a good multiple vitamin C, D3, and potassium iodine, we've seen this asthma condition clear up in these children within 30 days. I mean, I'm talking children who are on respirators, seeing it cleared up within 30 days. So it's a pretty amazing thing what can happen. when you have these children who are deficient in specific nutrients from poor prenatal nutrition and they're still being breastfed, how quickly they can be helped by just changing the type of nutrients that the mother's getting that she's putting into her milk. Because remember this, you're not really what you eat, though that is true somewhat. You are what you eat eats. So if you're eating something like a chicken that's been fed horrible, horrible food, all GMO processed everything, and you eat that chicken, well, now you are what that chicken ate. So you got to think through all of this stuff before you put this inorganic stuff into your body. And again, the show today is brought to you by healthmasters.com. We've been in business for 36 years now. We've been blessed. We've helped a lot of people all over the world. I've done seminars all over the world. And we have probably the highest, finest quality supplements you can buy anywhere in the world on the whole planet as far as I'm concerned. So give us a call if you'd like to order products from us. Thank you for your support. 1-800-726-1834. Go get our free newsletter. You can sign up on our website. Plus, we keep you up to date as far as when we have guests on the show. Healthmasters.com. Austin, what's your next story?
Well, I got an article today. Somebody emailed me, one of our real good customers. And we keep hearing about more and more lawsuits with Monsanto because every time you turn around, they're doing something shady. And they usually get busted for it, thank goodness now, because, I mean, a lot of people are starting to wake up. Now in July of 2014, this basically is referring back to the town that Monsanto poisoned. This is from Jenny Lewis. In 2014, the large biotech company Monsanto was ordered by the West Virginia State Supreme Court to pay Nitro, which is a town in West Virginia, $93 million to clean up toxic contamination that they left behind. Monsanto ran an herbicide factory in Nitro for 56 years, closing in 2004, producing chemicals including Agent Orange, the infamous herbicide used during the Vietnam War, and other byproducts which caused serious health issues. They basically have to help citizens out for like 30 years. They have to clean over 5,000 homes that have been contaminated with their toxic filth. Also, too, they have to test citizens for Agent Orange now, and they've spent basically another $60-something million in additional testing. But the crazy part about this isn't the first town you read about. There's another one that happened in 2003 that they were ordered to pay $700 million to 20,000 different citizens, and this was in Anniston, Alabama, when they actually got caught in the early 90s dumping in the all these different chemicals straight into the creek bed and to the town's landfill. All these chemicals were directly linked to cancer, all kinds of issues in humans and animals, and that lawsuit came about too. So we're starting to see this more and more now. So quite frankly, guys, if you really don't think there's anything wrong with Monsanto and glyphosate, keep eating it. Because there's so much information out there now that you should be able to make up your mind in the proper, correct direction on where to go with your health and what to eat and what not to eat. These guys are an absolute horrible company from the pit of hell, in my opinion, and they produce nothing but death and destruction. So do not support them. Do not buy anything from them. And my goodness, don't buy or eat any GMO food or glyphosate-laced foods. Stick as clean as organic food as possible. I know it gets expensive sometimes, but do the best you can because this is not stuff you want to put in your body. It's starting to saturate the environment more and more and more now the longer it's used. And the less we support it, the easier it's going to be to try and put these guys hopefully out of business one day. That's my goal. We'll see if it ever happens, but you got to have goals for something, though.
I mean, it's just the most wicked company around. Here's another article.
It is.
This is from the Seattle Times. This is mainstream here. It's on in the environment. It says, drugs found in Puget Sound salmon from tainted wastewater. Listen to this. From Prozac to caffeine to cholesterol medicine, from ibuprofen to bug spray, researchers found an alphabet soup of drugs and other personal care products in sewage treatment wastewater and in the tissue of juvenile Chinook salmon in Puget Sound. I mean, unbelievable. Prozac, Advil, Benadryl, Lipitor, even cocaine. Those drugs and dozens of others are showing up in the tissues of juvenile Chinook, researchers have found, thanks to tainted wastewater discharge. The estuary waters near the outfalls of sewage treatment plants and effluent sampled at the plants were a cocktail of 81 drugs and personal care products with levels detected among the highest in the nation. I mean, It also included Flonase, Aleve, Tylenol, Paxil, Valium, Zoloft, Tagamet, OxyContin and Darvon, nicotine and caffeine, fungicides, antiseptics, and anticoagulants. I mean, this is unbelievable. And it's in the food. It's in the fish. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay. What do you think about that one, Austin?
That's a mind bender right there. I think you get a nice little drug cocktail every time you eat one of the fish in there. That's why we tell you guys, man, it's so important to use the distillers with your water. I mean, at least filter your water. Never drink tap water or any of this stuff. This is not the water you want to put in your body. These water treatment plants, I mean, this is what they're doing. They're basically reclaiming sewage wastewater, filtering it, and turning around and sending it back to your tap. That's what it does. It's when you see on, like, bottled water, I think Nestle does one, a couple different ones. It says from, like, you know, a county municipal water supply. That's what it is, or reclaimed water. That's sewage water, guys. It's sewage water that they filter, and they make it basically potable so you don't die when you drink it, and they put it back in the bottle and feed it back to you. So it's really important you make sure you're drinking clean, purified water. The distillers we carry are one of the best ones on the market, and they're cost-effective, easy to clean, easy to use. They really do a good job at purifying your water.
That's absolutely right, Austin. Let me read you this interesting one. This is a gift from Russia to Afghanistan. Afghan officials took delivery of 10,000 automatic rifles and millions of rounds of ammunition as a gift from Russia on Wednesday, another sign of deepening involvement by Moscow in this war-torn country. Dependent almost entirely on foreign aid, I guess because they don't get their cut of the heroin money, Afghan security forces are struggling to secure the country amid a rising insurgency. As the NATO-led coalition's military presence dwindled last year, Afghan leaders reached out to Moscow, which fought a war of its own in Afghanistan in the 80s, for more Russian-made weapons, including small arms, artillery, and attack helicopters. There's something else going on with that whole deal. You know, maybe these guys in Afghanistan have had enough of being the heroin capital of the world. Russia's had enough of that going on, and Russia's trying to help defund the CIA and the Black Ops and the Exchange Stability Fund, which is the shadow government of the United States, through the Rothschild banking cartel, through the Treasury of the United States. Maybe they decided they wouldn't have had enough of that and they want to try to change some of this. What do you think, son?
Well, you got to understand, when Russia left Afghanistan the first time and tried to invade it and take it over, it was very difficult to do, and it didn't work out. They pretty much left all of their arms there. That's what we found out, you know, all the Marines that were first in Fallujah and everything else, is the majority of the weapons that Afghanistan had were from the Soviet Union and were basically the grenades, the rocket launchers, the AK-47s, the ammunition. It was all Russian stuff, and it still worked good. Afghanistan is riddled with weapons. It's riddled with ammunition, grenades, bombs, mortars, you name it. They're still loaded with it over there. So for Russia to turn around and send 10,000 brand new armaments as far as machine guns, it doesn't designate in that article whether or not they're light machine guns as in AK-47s or heavy machine guns as in like belt-fed 50 cals or anti-aircraft weaponry. I don't know. But like you said, that sounds like there's something more to the eye than just sending a ton of ammunition and weapons to these guys over there when Afghanistan is already riddled with weapons. What are they trying to fund? What are they trying to arm? What are they trying to back over there? Unless, again, like you've talked about before, there's something going on in the Middle East that's getting prepped right now. They may be going for a hot war. I don't think they're going to go with nuclear weapons like you said over there, but definitely something is brewing, and I don't know what's going to happen, but it definitely looks like it's escalating.
Well, the whole thing about it is I think that the world has finally begun to realize that this drug culture that's being fostered in Afghanistan with this massive $1 trillion worth of heroin that's being brought into the United States by the CIA every year and distributed through the local mobs is just something that's destroying the entire planet. I mean, these are opiates. This is trainloads of opiates. I mean, this isn't a satchel full of stuff. This is trainloads of stuff to do this. Trillions of dollars. I mean, this is an unbelievable amount of opium. And so I think that the world maybe is saying, you know, we don't want to do this anymore, and maybe we don't want to fund these shadow governments anymore, and maybe we just want to be doing something else and trying to help people instead of poisoning them all with drugs. I don't know, Austin. It's kind of crazy to me. So the whole thing's just nuts. Another story. Vladimir Putin takes personal charge of Syria ceasefire effort. It's from The Guardian. Vladimir Putin has taken personal charge of efforts to turn a Syrian ceasefire into reality this weekend, holding a frantic round of phone calls with world leaders and instructing the Russian military to reduce the number of airstrikes over the past 2 days. The Russian president spoke by phone to leaders in Iran, Saudi Arabia, Israel, and Syria. Should have talked to Turkey and Qatar, too, by the way, and the United States, in an attempt to garner support for the ceasefire and explain its complex details. He has also opened a coordination center to which the warring parties can send complaints of specific breaches of the truce. Some armed groups in Syria have already signed up to the truce, according to Russia. I mean, I think Vladimir Putin is doing everything he can to not do a world war with tactical nuclear weapons or whatever they were talking about using over there. But I don't think he'll... You know, Austin, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting that we were talking about yesterday how I think you said it was Saudi Arabia. Now they're planning on giving the rebels or the freedom fighters, whatever the new name for the terrorist is in the Middle East this week, surfaced air missiles to combat the Russian airstrikes over there in Syria. You know, we talked about that's probably not a very good idea. It's not usually generally wise to give terrorists surfaced air missiles that can take down planes at 30, 40, 50,000 feet. But, you know, quite frankly, if they do that and they really let loose with a bunch of surfaced air missiles over there, Russia's not going to have much of a choice at all if they do airstrikes other than tactical nukes, because coming in with, you know, some of their fighter jets, the equivalent to the F-16s or F-18s, whatever Russia is running, you know, the equivalent of, you can't get bombs dropped at that point with surface air missiles running up your butt. You're going to have to do tactical nuke strikes from a distance. So they may escalate that. They may resort to that. I don't know. But, I mean, Saudi Arabia giving serious surface air missiles sounds like it's going to basically escalate things a lot worse than it needs to go.
New York Times reporter murdered in Dominican Republic who spoke openly about psychotronic warfare and MKUltra. This is interesting. The ABRA report. The Washington Post has announced that the former New York Times reporter Sarah Kershaw was found asphyxiated due to strangulation, of course she was, in the Dominican Republic. The Washington Post reported that Ms. Kershaw's body was found Monday at her apartment in Sousa, where she moved with her husband William Norton in 2014. Norton was being questioned about her death, said the prosecutor. For people who regularly visited write on message boards about mind control sites, she was there supporting them, saying that it was not delusional and psychotic, that this was actually going on. So she openly talked about MK Ultra and mind control, and apparently was talking too much about it, Austin, because she's not around anymore. How sad is that? So here's another article up. Oregon standoff, Ammon Bundy and others plead not guilty. Judge aims to avoid trial delay. Well, yeah, get them out of there. They want to make sure they shut up and they don't talk to anybody. Now, U.S. District Judge Anna J. Brown said Wednesday she will push to try the federal conspiracy case stemming from the armed takeover of the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge as soon as practically possible. You know, the best thing to do, buddy, is get them in jail as quick as they can so they can't talk to reporters anymore. Guys, thank you for being here today. Thank you for listening to the Health Masters. I'll have more of the Scalia mess tomorrow, though I don't want to talk about it, but I feel I need to do that. I'll do a bunch of research on it tonight and find out. We love you guys. We appreciate you for supporting healthmasters.com. And thank you for being our customers. Thank you for being our loyal listeners. And thank you for understanding when sometimes we get things right, sometimes we get things wrong. Thank you for being here with us. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yes, guys, we appreciate it. And if you need anything, give us a call or go on our website and email us. And you guys have a blessed night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
God bless. Bye.